This is Stipton Golf Coach Heath Hesse, and you're listening to the Coach's Corner Podcast.
Welcome to the Coach's Corner Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Stonebreaker. Thanks for listening. On today's episode is boys basketball. On today's show, our guests are Tipton boys basketball coach Matt Fouch, Wilton boys basketball coach Mark Patterson, West Branch boys basketball coach Tom Berger, two football coach interviews with North Cedar football coach Lucas Stanton and Tipton football coach Josh Barr talking about the district football alignment. And to wrap up, we will catch up with Durant boys basketball coach Matt Straube. Thanks for listening. Let's get started. Basketball with head coach Matt Fouch here on the Coach's Corner Podcast. Matt, welcome in.
Hey, thank you.
It is getting to the end, and it's getting to be good game after good game. We're going to talk about two of those games here this week, North Cedar, and then the most recent one at Durant this past Tuesday. Coach, does it seem like the season is 80% of the way over at this point?
Not really. You know, sometimes you go through the dog days of the season, and right now our team's just kind of enjoying themselves, and, you know, we're competing every game after game, so we're still having a lot of fun with it. So it doesn't seem like we're in the dog days, and, you know, coming down the final stretch where everybody's tired, we're all still ready to go, so hopefully that continues for another few weeks.
We have five games left. Of those, three are at home. just a wide variety of good, bad, and ugly, I guess. It'll be a nice challenge. We'll get into that later, but we'll, you know, we left off with a 74-70 win over West Branch at home, and, you know, that took us into North Cedar last Saturday, 66-52 winners against the Knights to sweep the season. I call it a series because I still don't, hasn't registered that we're non-conference on the second time around.
But yeah.
Anyway, we beat them both times. You know, it's always good to get a home win, and when it's against North Cedar, that's all the better.
Absolutely, yeah. It's always nice to beat North Cedar, as dominant as they have been in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years against us. It's nice to just sweep the season series against them this year. It's very nice for our seniors.
Coach, before we get into this game, I forgot to mention Matt Pelzer, senior guard for us, won the TV9 Athlete of the Week award last week. You know, a real nice honor. An honor that extends beyond Matt Pelzer.
Yeah, absolutely. It goes all the way through the team. You know, he, with the shot attempts or the points that he got throughout that week, he doesn't get those without his teammates giving him the ball and, you know, without his teammates being very unselfish. So it was a nice little team honor, kind of fun for our team to see, you know, see Scott come to the gym and do a little competition and the cameras there and whatnot. So it was kind of neat for our team to see that.
My question to you is, did you follow them around after they left? Or I guess I forgot that when they left, I was like, oh, wait a minute, they didn't do the loser challenge thing. And then when I watched at night, I'm like, whoa, they did. They went to somebody's house and, like, took over their house.
Yeah, no, they told us they were going to go around and play some sock basketball, but no, they didn't invite any of us, so we didn't actually see them do that until it came on TV that night.
That was kind of cool, you know, I mean, what you see on TV took, I don't know what, 20, 25 minutes of time to capture
exactly.
That stuff.
It seemed like you made three in a row.
Yeah. Anyway, that kind of gave a boost to, you know, Matt playing really well, averaging over 21 points during a four-game stretch that saw, I think, top out at 34 or 33. I don't remember off the top of my head, but it was quite a few points.
Yeah.
So North Cedar, you know, they're a scary team. You know, they have all the athletic talent in the world, but they just haven't put it together. And, you know, first half, they were only down by 7 at halftime, 27-20.
Yeah, that was about the, and, you know, credit North Cedar for playing good defense and you know, keeping the game into a half-court flow like they wanted to, but, you know, we didn't get it going in the first quarter or really even the second quarter. Second quarter, we had a couple nice baskets out of our offense, but, yeah, you got to credit North Cedar. They came out, they wanted to play a half-court game, and they really slowed us down and kind of took us out of our game early.
Coach, did I dream this, or did they try to play a junk, like, triangle on two or something?
It was kind of hard to tell what they were playing. I think they played a little triangle on two, and they ran and jumped quite a bit, and they were trapping all of our dribble handoffs. And so they were doing things a little bit differently than any other team we've seen this year. You know, and they do a nice job trying to take the ball out of the point guard's hands and making somebody else set up the offense. They did that against us the first game, too. So Coach Jackson knows what he's doing. He always throws us off a little bit.
You guys outscored North Cedar 21-16 in the third quarter. You know, that gave you guys a 13-point lead going into the last quarter. But, you know, if you break it down by the quarters, the only separation we had was in the second quarter. So, I mean, they still played pretty well against us. I was excited to see us reach 66 points. We had 5 double-figure scores for, I believe, the first time this season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just was a good game. Two wins in a row, two conference, well, technically two conference, even though this one's a non-conference, sorry.
Yeah, you know, that was the most exciting thing for me. You know, the five players in double digits, and then looking at our field goal attempts that game where we had 7, 9, 11, 8, 8, 4, you know, where our field goal attempts were very distributed, and that's tough to guard when you can do that, when you have, you know, when you have one guy here and there that shoots 20-some shots a game, then it's kind of easier for the next team to kind of key in on him. But when you're as evenly dispersed as we were this game, it makes it tough for the defense to, you know, hone in on one or two players.
Logan Hoffman had 14 points to lead our scores, also 12 rebounds, double-double for Logan. Coach, he's really come on here as of late.
Yeah, he's playing good basketball. You know, every night out on the court, you know, get you more and more excited for the next 2 years with him. It's very nice that he's a sophomore. He's still going to learn. You know, he's still going to get better, going to make better post moves, going to rebound better throughout his career. So it's nice to see him putting up these numbers as a sophomore. You know, he's almost up to double-digit points again, which is probably where he should be. We just have not given him the touches that he needs to get. You know, this game we give him 11 touches and he gets 14 points, so we have to kind of continue that trend if we want to keep winning games.
Coach, what does his development do now if you haven't, like, for example, we have Wilton, Regina, stuff like that coming up. There's going to be it'll be a different Logan Hoffman than they saw the first time around. And, you know, you can even add Zach Howell in there. Zach's played very well. You guys have really developed. You can see the development he's had over from last year to this year.
Yeah.
You know, our post game probably is the strongest it's been for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Those two do a very good job, and you know, like I said, it'll be a different Logan Hoffman and a different Zach Howell for Wilton and Regina, and you know, those teams, as long as we give them the touches they need. You know, we've been working a lot on that in practice, making sure they get the touches, because when they do, they make good decisions. You know, they'll turn it over every now and then, but they make very good passing decisions, very good basketball decisions. So we just have to stay with that.
Mark Becker, Adam Hermson, 11 points. Dalton Minty, 10 points. Matt Pelzer, 10 points. You know, I thought we've had this capability. It's nice to see it. I'm not, sorry, that sounds critical. It's not intended to, but, you know, it's like we have that. We can do that, in my opinion, any game that we play.
Absolutely, yeah. We just have to stay unselfish and, you know, make sure we get the guys to pass up good shots for great shots, and we can do that every game.
Coach, we out-rebounded them 2-1, 42 rebounds to 21. Is 42 rebounds a record of any kind? Or do you – to me, that might be the highest total I've seen since the LaFrenz days.
Yeah, it's probably one of the highest. Obviously, there's – couple teams back in the 60s who just dominate the rebounding board, who I know nothing about. But as far as since I've been here, you know, that's one of the highest. You know, and I don't ever remember us out rebounding somebody 2-1, especially a good athletic North Cedar team. So that kind of just describes our mentality right now, going after loose balls and making sure every rebound's ours.
All five starters had at least 4 rebounds in the game. Like I said, really, Logan had 12, Mark Becker, Zach Howe had 6. You know, Aaron Woodward, 12 points for them, Carter Johnson, 11 points, and the more I look at that, each of those guys had their moments. Carter Johnson had a run in the first half where he hit 2 threes on back-to-back possessions for them, and then had a steal that led to 2 more points.
Yeah.
And that was about it from him. Aaron Woodward had a nice run, but I just thought you guys limited the runs as far as, and not just for this game, that's kind of, you guys have been doing that lately. You've limited the big players for the other team consistent, like say 5 points each quarter or 4 points each quarter or whatever. I mean, they've had some trouble.
Yeah, we've done a much better job on the defensive end this year. You know, we got guys like Dalton Menti who can key in on the other team's best guard, and he does an outstanding job with that. And Zach Ford, both our juniors, do a good job with that. And then, you know, our bigs do a good job defending, too, when they need to. So far, so good. We just have to keep getting better on the defensive end.
Takes us to Durant this past Tuesday, a big RVC South game. You know, you guys are right there with Durant, Regina. I think Wilton may even have a shot. I haven't put the pen to paper yet, but, you know, Coach, this is a hard-fought game. We closed the gap. I mean, they came up to Tipton, and they really took it to us last time.
Yeah, you know, we knew they beat us by 30 last time, and, you know, it was a very, very heated game. They were pretty excited when they were here at Tipton. So we knew we had to get a little bit of revenge and come back and play as hard as we can. We just came up a little bit short. We made some boneheaded mistakes in the fourth quarter and overtime and just didn't get the job done.
Coach, they were kind of in a must-win situation. They came into the game losers of their last 3 games, 2 of which were South games. You know, Coach Strobe said all season that they have a goal to win the South, and, you know, they had quite a run in the first half, maybe unexpected by a lot of people's measures, and, you know, it was almost like a tournament game out there.
Absolutely. You know, they had a little bit of magic there those first 10 games on a couple buzzer beaters, a couple tough shots, and they did a good job carrying that momentum the first 10 games. And they've had a rough patch lately, but when you have, you know, 4 seniors starting for you, you should, you know, it's kind of their job to turn that.
With that
said, rough patch around, and they did a good job with that against us. They brought a lot of energy and a lot of passion and got the job done.
With that said, we had a really good start, 16-11 after the first quarter. Adam Hermson had all 9 of his points, if I remember right, in the first quarter, maybe the first half. I might have that mixed up, but Adam was hot from outside, 3 3-pointers there. You know, couldn't have had a better start. You know, they had their crowd going. It was crazy. I mean, the girls' game was kind of not as competitive as some people would have probably liked. So it was a good start for us.
Yeah, we started great. You know, that's something that we've talked a lot about, because most of the season we've been a second half team where we've kind of got our points and build our lead in the second half. So it was nice. It was nice at the end of the first and second quarter to be sitting there with the lead and, you know, to be playing with a lot of energy.
We were up by 9 at halftime, 32-23. You know, 32 points in the first half is a healthy number. I think that's what you're getting at, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly where we want to be. We want to be in the mid-60s every game. So, yeah, we were sitting right where we wanted to be at the end of the first half.
Unfortunately, foul trouble started catching up to us in the second half. They got 2 points better than us in the third quarter. And then fourth quarter, they got us by 7 to tie it. You know, we had a shot at the end of the fourth quarter to win it. Fell short, sent to overtime. You know, even going to overtime, still didn't think the game was out of reach for us.
No, you know, we got up 4-0 in overtime and then got outscored 6-0 just because we made a couple couple really silly mistakes, a couple silly turnovers, and didn't defend like we had most of the game. So we probably should have made a couple other adjustments. But they just had big players make big plays late in the game. You know, Will Bentley drives and draws a double team to him and dumps off for Whitlock for a wide open layup. And that's just what big players do. And, you know, our big players made big plays, but they just ended up making the last big play.
Yeah, I kind of got the sense in the fourth quarter, it's like whoever is going to have the ball last would win, you know.
Yeah.
It just was one of those games. It was good to see us close the gap. We were very capable. Probably felt like we let one maybe get away from us a little bit. But, yep. You know, seeing that improvement from the first time around, we can take that on from here, right?
Yeah, that's what we talked about yesterday in practice. You know, the worst thing we can do is not learn from our mistakes, especially if we want to make a run in the postseason. We can't let an overtime loss to Durant compound and then go up to Bellevue and turn it into two losses and then play Wilton next Tuesday and turn it into three losses. That's kind of what we did early in the season when we lost. So we just have to learn from our mistakes and get better at them. And I think we got better yesterday in practice, kind of getting the ball to the post when we needed to later in games. And we'll see. You know, if we learn from it, we'll be just fine. If we don't, then it's going to be a long five games left.
Earlier this season, you said, if I remember right, you said that the guys like playing on the road.
Yeah.
They have another opportunity Friday night to go up to Bellevue. You know, it might be the best thing right now. Just get away and just be kind of not circle the wagons. But, I mean, it's just going to be you guys for a long period of bus time there.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be nice just to kind of get away from the south and go up to the north, kind of a team that we don't know a whole lot about just because, you know, you don't get to watch them play too often. We'll watch them on film, but it's always kind of nice to play a team that you don't know much about so you don't have kids that overthink the game and, you know, overthink how to play different players. So it'll definitely be nice to get out of here for a Friday night and go see what we got against Bellevue.
Matt Pelzer had 16 points, 7 rebounds, and Logan Hoppin, 14.7 rebounds at the Durant game. Dalton Minty, 7 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. You know, that's quickly becoming a trend.
Yeah.
With Dalton.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we almost had 5 guys in double digits again. Dalton Minty's doing a great job taking shots that he can make and understanding his role and getting rebounds. And he's going to be a huge player for us next year. You know, and the biggest stat that pops out to me on this stat sheet is Logan Hoffman with 14 points on 4 shot attempts. It tells me a couple things. A, that he played a heck of a game, you know, getting rebounds and getting fouled and putting the ball in the basket and shot free throws well. But it also tells me we did not give him the ball near as much as we needed to, you know, for him only to get four post touches and 4.5 quarters of play.
That is interesting because now you mentioned that, it didn't seem like he did get the ball. It seemed like he was active and around the basket and in defensive plays. But, that's interesting.
Absolutely.
Will Bentley, 21 points. Gavin Meyer, 15. Luke Whitlock, the enemy of Tipton, 12 points. I'm just kidding. Just kidding to the listeners. 7 rebounds for him as well. You know, Coach, this is going to start a exciting exciting final weeks here. If you're a Tipton Tiger fan, you have road game at Bellevue, but once you get past that, home games against Wilton, home game against Monticello at Washington a week from Saturday, and then Regina at home. The 3 teams coming into Tipton, if you're not here watching, I don't know what it's going to take to come out and watch a game.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'd ask that all our fans come out and just support our seniors their last 3 home games. You know, they're going to give you everything they got. They're a fun group to watch. They play very up-tempo. So hopefully we can pack the gym for their last 3 home games of their high school careers, and then we'll move on and see what the postseason has in store for us.
Is this an opportunity to make some noise and get on a roll going into the postseason? I mean, if you play, you got to think that Wilton's going to be a dogfight, just like Durant.
Yep.
Monticello's going to be just like a Cascade or a Northeast. They're going to be a tough, tough game. And Regina, you know, you want to get to Regina and have the opportunity to play for the South, you know. there's just a lot of intrigue waiting to play out here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely exciting this last week, you know, because every game we play is going to be a tough game. There's no kind of we should definitely win type games. They're all going to be hard fought games, and that's exactly what you want at the end of the season to see what your senior led team has in them. So yeah, it's going to be exciting. Hopefully we can get a lot. Hopefully we can win the next few and get some excitement for that Regina game.
Coach, you guys have something going on next Tuesday with Wilton.
Yeah, we're doing our Coaches vs. Cancer night that night. It should be kind of different than the years past. We're not necessarily doing all the raffles and everything. We're going to take a year off of that. But you know, that is that night.
Well, Matt, thanks for coming on this morning. Look forward to talking next week. We have a couple games to talk about, and we'll know a lot more. Hopefully, as we were talking earlier, maybe we'll know our bracket situation, and we'll have a better idea of what we have left with the three games remaining on our schedule. So, good luck. Go get them.
Hey, thank you.
Welcome back to the show. It's time to catch up with Wilton boys basketball coach Mark Patterson as we turn our attention to Wilton boys basketball. Coach, welcome in.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Mark, it's been a while since we've talked. I think the last game we talked about may have been Highland, may have been your loss at West Branch, but we're going to start today with a home win on the 15th of January against Durant, 62-46. It was the second time around for you guys to meet. The first time you guys fell over in Durant. This time you guys turned the tables and got a big win.
Yeah, it was a nice win for our guys. You know, they look forward to playing Durant again. It's always a nice rivalry for our kids. Our kids seem to get along with their kids pretty well. The communities get along. So it's always a nice game. It was Jam the Gym, a big fundraiser for our booster club. So it was a big crowd, and luckily, we put on a pretty good show for them. It's a game I thought the first time around, Durant really outplayed us over at their place and did a lot of nice things, so we need to be prepared for them. And we had some nice practices leading up to that game, and our kids were really focused, and we came out and got into a great start and a great rhythm and really held that rhythm and held that pace for four quarters. And luckily enough for us, we were able to come away with the win.
Coach, if I remember right, you guys were out to 18-2 or 18-4 lead fairly quickly.
Yeah, I was really happy with our start. We always try to get off to a great start. For some reason, a lot of times this year, we haven't been able to do that. Well, we've been kind of a slow starting team, and that's hurt us in a few games. But against Durant, the kids are really, really looking forward to it. I thought they were really pumped up, and we got off to a good start. And I think a lot of that had to do with we set the pace early. And some of it had to do with we were mixing up our defense a little bit, some things maybe Durant hadn't seen the first time around, and we kept them off balance, and that helped us on both ends of the floor.
You guys were ahead 20-9 after the first quarter, 36 first half points, and you know that was almost pretty much it. I mean, it was competitive quarter wise in the second half, but they weren't really able to make up a lot of points in the second half.
Yeah, offensively, I thought we've had a strong year altogether. It seems like when we have troubles in games, it's on the defensive end of getting stops and holding teams down. But in this Durant game, I thought we did a nice job on both ends of the floor. We were able to score of a lot of our sets and had a good night offensively. And at the same time, defensively, we really locked down and made Durant work hard and tried to get them out of a rhythm. And like I said, for four quarters, we did a nice job of that. That was what allowed us to get a nice win.
Javon Drake had a double-double, 25 points, 11 rebounds, 5 offensive rebounds in that total. Zach Randolph, 17 points to help you guys get your victory. That started a stretch of three of four wins, of your last four wins, I should say. You guys went to North Cedar that next night. I saw you guys play that, and, you know, that was a scary game. North Cedar, they have all the athletic talent in the world. They just, unfortunately, haven't been able to put it together consistently. Coach, they put it together that night, though.
Yeah, we haven't had much success against North Cedar over the last several years. I think we've beaten them once at the time that I've been here. They seem to have our number. They're a nice basketball program. They made a run there a few years going to state with some real good kids. And as we talked to our kids, we knew they were a lot better than their record. That North division of our league's awful tough, and they had to play those teams twice. So they might have been the best three-win team in the state at that time. And again, we got off to a nice start that night. Things were going well for us. In the second half, I felt we let off the gas a little bit and let North Cedar back into it. Boy, once they got back into it, they started playing awful well. And I think the best thing that happened that night is fourth quarter ended, the horn went off, and we still had a little bit of a lead. If that game would have been any longer, I'm not sure what would have happened.
Coach, they haven't been in too many games where they've had to be toward the end of the fourth quarter. They were subbing offense for defense, and Logan Miner came up big. He had 7 of his 18 points in the final minute and a half to kind of make it interesting. I agree. Getting out of there with a win, whether it's 1, 2, or 50 points, I mean, get a win and go home.
Yeah, and that kind of was the culmination of a long week for us. We had 4 games that week, and that was the last on a Saturday afternoon. And I thought in the second half you could see our guys had looked like they had played 4 games that week. We looked a little tired. Our legs were probably going a little bit. And like I said, thankfully, we played well enough in that first half to get ourselves a lead and then kind of hung on down there at the end against North Cedar team that, never quit.
You guys nearly shot 50% for the game from the floor. Jevin Drake, John Hennessy, 18 points each. Each had 8 made field goals. Also, both of them led you in rebound. Jevin had 7, John had 6. Zach Randolph, 8. Jake Linker, 7. Matt Poston, 5. Then you had a normal weekend after that, I guess. You had some time off. you didn't play that next Tuesday. A nice little break. Then you guys had state-ranked Northeast Goose Lake come in last Friday.
Yeah, it was nice to have a break after playing 4 games that one week and 4 tough games. So it was good for our kids to take some time off and get their legs back underneath them and rest up, because we knew North Cedar coming into our gym was going to be an awful big challenge. So we had a little bit of time to prepare for that challenge. And, the game was just a great game. They're as good as advertised. They play hard. They defend hard. They've got talented athletic kids. They've got a nice post player. And I thought our guys came out really up to the challenge. And I thought it was a great game all the way through. And the only thing we didn't do is win the game. We did everything possible to win. Just when the horn sounded, we were down. We had, opportunities right there at the end to tie it and to take the lead. But in the game of basketball, sometimes the bounces go your way. Sometimes they don't. But the good thing is we had opportunities against a real good team.
You guys were ahead 13-12 after the first quarter. You guys had a 26-23 halftime lead. They got 5 points better than you guys in the third quarter and evenly fourth quarter. Coach, I agree. Northeast Goose Lake is kind of an old school Big East sort of team this year, in my opinion. I mean, they make the passes, they have give and goes, they're just a solid team.
Yeah, they're solid all 5 spots, and they've got some depth, and there's not a lot of drop off. They bring guys in, so I think they have that advantage on us a little bit. We're still a work in progress with our depth, but our guys battled for 4 quarters, and they gave us everything we wanted. I think we gave them everything they wanted, and they stretched it a little bit. I think it was up 6 with like a minute left, but our guys battled back, and we had a chance at the free throw line with 6 or 7 seconds left to tie it, and then we had a chance with an out-of-bounds play, got a great look with 4 seconds left, but ball didn't go in. So, I mean, I give a lot of guys the credit for staying with it really bad, and I think that's going to give us a lot of confidence here as we continue on.
Zach Randolph, 23 points. Javon Drake, 19 points to lead you guys. Zach Parson, 22. Luke Empen, 11. That's their post player for the Rebels. And then Ryan Murphy with 10. You guys held Will Askin down to 8 points. And, I think he's a solid player. So that's really cool. 8 points out of him.
Yeah, we did a nice job. And we try to identify, team strength. We identified him as one. We knew we'd have to put a little more attention to him, and I think we did defensively, and they put him on Jab and tried to guard jabbing hard, so I'm sure that took a little bit out of him. You know, but they had another guy step up and hit some big shots for him. Just like us, I mean, we have guys step up. Zach had a real good night against them on both ends of the floor. And, you know, we know what we're going to get out of Zach and Jab and John. They're kind of known commodities. And as our other guys continue to get better, continue to add to us, you know, we're looking forward to some more games like we played against Northeast.
Yeah, that takes us to Mid Prairie this past Tuesday. Home game. Maybe is that the best thing about Tuesday? I don't know. 50-47, you guys get the win over Mid Prairie. Coach, I'm guessing they circled this game and said no more. We're this is it. You know, I mean, this is a score that was surprising to me when I saw it come over.
Well, we got off to a nice start in the first half. Both offensively, they were trying to play a little triangle and two against us. Our kids adjusted well to that. You know, it's just they're a dangerous team. I mean, that's a strong program for a long, long time, and they're down a little bit this year. But their kids are going to play hard, and their kids are going to want to get that win and have some pride in that. So we told our kids, I mean, a winless team is awful dangerous because they don't have any pressure on them. They just go out and play, and what happens, happens, and you know, all the pressure is on us. Supposedly that's a team we should beat, but we knew it was going to be a struggle in the second half. You know, our kids kind of let off the gas a little bit and kind of started, you know, playing to the level that they were at, and that let them back in the game. And honestly, we just let the kids kind of play it out. I think I called one timeout in the second half because I think it's a good learning experience for them. They're going to have to learn to get through that adversity and bring themselves up. And you know, at the end of the game, luckily we, you know, they threw a couple of shots in. We hit some free throws and did some nice things. But you hate to have learning experiences like that. But you know, somewhere down the line, you have to have a learning experience like that as a team and how to deal with some adversity and bring yourself back up. And like I said, luckily we're at home and it's a win for us. And hopefully we can gain some knowledge out of that and you know, get better as we go on.
Well, Coach, you guys are heavy on the upperclassmen, and yeah, you guys haven't been in too many games of this, like just like how North Cedar, like I said earlier, you know, they hadn't been in too many games where you had to sub defense and stuff. You know, a lot of your games are 60s somewhere to the 40s somewhere, or 50s to low 40s or something. So a win's a win, and you know, yeah, learning a lot. You guys have a lot of big games coming up here. Zach Randolph with 18, Javon Drake 14, Jake Linker 10 in the game against Mid Prairie to lead you guys in scoring. Coach, you guys have been through this before. We talked earlier about how many games you're going to have in the next, I don't know, 7 to 10 days. It starts a Saturday at Iowa City, Regina. You guys are still right in the thick of the RVC South race. This is an important game. How's practice been, and how are things going to be going here into Regina?
Well, you get to this time of the year, and you know, you want to maintain a good level of practice. You want to maintain a good level of effort, and you hope to be, you know, fine-tuning things as you go along. So, you know, with our lack of depth, our practice is a little bit different in terms of we're still trying to build some skills and build the ability for some kids to come in and give some quality minutes, which is something we'll have to do right to the end. But our practice has been good, and our kids are well aware of where we stand in the conference and well aware of who we have left to play. We've got four of our South Division games left here, and all four are going to be big games. I mean, we have to play Regina twice, and, you know, their team is normally at the top of our division, and we have to play them twice in basically less than a week, or less than 2 weeks. So that's tough. Then we have a rematch with Tipton, who beat us on our home floor, and an always tough West Liberty team that gave us everything we wanted at their place. So, I mean, we've got some big games coming up, and we got a couple non-conference games that, you know, won't be easy either. You like to be playing games at this time of the year. I just don't know if I want to play 7 in the span of 10 days. So, you know, our kids are going to have to be tested, and that'll be up to the challenge, and you know, we'll see how it goes.
You know, it's funny, at this time of year, normally you've played all the conference schools once, and here Saturday, this is the first Regina game of the season. They've been without a couple of their players due to various reasons, and other teams have played them without those players, and now they're playing their second time around with those players. It's not going to matter with you guys. I mean, first time's first time, and go with it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you can't plan on when you're going to play and who they're going to have. You just show up on the date scheduled and you know, do what you have to do. So we've got to find a way to do our best these four conference games we have left. If we do, we'll have a shot at it. If we don't, you know, someone else is going to have a shot at it. So you know, there's not a lot of thinking to it. Yeah, we pushed Regina back from early in the year because of some scheduling problems. So, like I said, you know, if you could pick your schedule, you might pick it differently, but you can't. So we'll just play when we're supposed to play and who we're supposed to play and give it our best.
Well, Mark, thanks for coming on this morning. Good luck these last few games. We'll talk to you down the road. Go get them.
Thank you, Ryan.
Back to the show. We're catching up with West Branch boys basketball coach Tom Berger as we take a look at West Branch boys basketball. Tom, welcome in.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We don't have a lot of games to talk about, but we have a lot of basketball to talk about. Last week we left off after a tough loss over here in Tipton. That gave you guys your next game at Bellevue on the 22nd, and you guys have been off. It's almost like, what's this? We haven't had this before. How have things gone this week? Have you had a good time off? Get people healthy, refine some things, work on yourselves as you get ready for the stretch here. How have things been going?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. You kind of hit that, almost read my mind. We're looking at our schedule thinking, wow, we don't play for almost a week, which is kind of scary. It'll be interesting to see how we react to that. But we have had some kids sick. It's kind of hit us. We kind of avoided it or just maybe had a 24-hour bug. But now it's we have one of our younger kid players. He's been out for about a week now. So actually this is coming at a pretty good time. Monday, we started back up at practice, and we went about an hour, and then we actually took our high school program over to watch our seventh grade team play at Hoover Elementary, and that was kind of neat. We fed them pizza afterwards, and it's kind of just a neat neat thing for the program to have those kids there to watch our junior high, and we'll do the same for our eighth grade team later on in the season. Of course, every kid's going to show up when we buy them pizza. So, you know, just a great thing for the program to be able to do that. And then, of course, we practice Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we'll practice again on Thursday before we play North Cedar on Friday. So it's been a good week. Like I say, we got some people healed up. So I think we're hopefully ready to go for North Cedar on Friday.
That's cool to hear. I mean, you guys are planting the seeds in the younger group. You know, I mean, they go to the games Friday night. They maybe have limited interaction with the varsity guys on a Tuesday or Friday. To see them up close and personal, that just plants more seeds, and it's like feeds into the, hey, I want to be a not just a Bear football player, but I want to be a Bear basketball player too.
Yeah, and we made sure that they knew that we do no conditioning in high school basketball, and we always feed them pizza after practice. So we made sure that they know that.
So your college recruiting mantra is coming out then, huh?
Definitely.
For the listeners, Coach Berger has had some college experience for basketball, and I was going to touch on that too. I mean, you've gone from college before where there's games – kind of like, I mean, it's almost like you have a college schedule in a weird way, because you can go a week without having some games at a college level too. So I thought maybe, you know, you might have some experience, and yeah, that's really cool that you get the young guys. I mean, it fosters community too. I mean, there's a lot to be said about being a part of the hometown team in there too.
Absolutely, and I, you know, I heard a lot from our community members. Thanks for bringing the boys over. Saw some stuff on social media about it, so I know it was appreciated, and our guys liked it, and I know the kids liked it. You know, sometimes the kids on the B team in junior high get forgotten, and that's probably the game that we were there for the most of, just because we practiced for an hour. So that was really important to see those kids play.
Were there a lot
of... and going back to that college, you know, the college thing, it's kind of interesting because, you know, they do make you take a day off at certain levels. But the funny thing is you know, we also were able to practice about 2 months ahead of for the first game, unlike 2 weeks, and you know, then we have a concert and stuff like that in there. So it's kind of been interesting to try to figure out how to get around everything because kids are involved in a lot of things.
Coach, that brings us to the only basketball game that's been played since we talked last. You guys hosted Bellevue on January 22nd. You know, Coach, we talked after the Tipton game when you guys were over here, and this is a scary stat if I've ever heard of one. I think it was you or Coach Peterson. Somebody had said, you know, we haven't beat a River Valley Conference North team. And I'm like, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? It just... For me, statistically, it doesn't seem possible, but you guys did get the win there, 50-44 over Bellevue. So good job.
Yeah, that I guess it was kind of brought to my attention that West Branch had never beaten a North school in boys basketball. Probably maybe even last spring when I got the job, a few times over the summer. And then when we started the season, we kept thinking, you know, when's this going to happen? And we kept bringing it up to the guy. You know, we thought we had Cascade early in the season, took them to overtime. And that would have been a really, really huge win. So, you know, this we're down to our last two North opponents in Bellevue and North Cedar. So we knew we definitely had to get one of them, or otherwise we go into next season with the same same thing on our back of not beating a North school yet, but again, it still wasn't easy.
Coach, you guys have won three of your last four games. Easily could be four of your last four games. Are you getting the sense that, hey, things are coming together here?
You know, it's kind of funny you ask that too. And I tell her, I share this with our kids. I don't like to hide stuff from them, but you know, we share that with our kids about, you know, we think it's coming together and then maybe it doesn't, or, you know, one game will look like $1 million and the next game we look like a penny. So part of that is I think we play, you know, with all the stats and everything out there with the social media, it's, you know, you can't rely on, well, these guys beat them by, you know, 20 points and we only lost to them by two. So this is going to be an easy one. You know, I think that's something that I'm not used to. With my coaching background, I've never really had to deal with the social media and the knowledge that kids have. But we share that with them that we still got to play the game. That's why they play the game. It doesn't matter what they played like, you know, 2 weeks ago or last night or whenever. Maybe they had kids sick that we weren't aware of, or you know, somebody just had a bad shooting night. So obviously, in this conference, you got to bring it every night. And, you know, me as a coach, I'm still trying to figure out my team, and I think the team's still trying to figure out me on, you know, what makes us really good. So hopefully we'll get that figured out here in the next month.
You guys had trailed, actually, after the first quarter, 14-10 and 20-14 at halftime. Second half, you guys had things turn around. You guys scored 36 second half points to their 24, including a 8-point margin in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, how'd the game go? I mean, did it go like how I'm seeing it here on Quick Stats, as far as kind of sort of even in the first half in a way, and then you guys pulled away with maybe shot the ball better in the second half or something?
Yeah, it was a very slow game in the first half, and it just felt like one of those games where, like, you know, we got to do something or we're going to end up with another loss here. And we got to halftime. We knew we were going to make some adjustments at halftime that we're going to make the pace of the game a little bit different. And to, you know, it's one thing that we think about. We only have, you know, 7 or 8 kids that we go on our bench. So, or actually only three kids that we go deep on our bench. And then one of those kids got hurt in the JV game that night. So we were without a player that had been playing a little bit. So now we're down to playing 7 kids. So we knew that we wanted to pick up the pace of the game because Bellevue did a great job of just kind of being really patient. And then we started to get impatient on offense. So we knew that we needed to create some havoc somehow just to see how they would react, how our guys would respond. And our whole mentality the second half, especially in the fourth quarter, was just totally different. The third quarter, I think I looked up between the third and the fourth, and really we had really not made any ground on them, and thought, boy, we better really get this thing picked up. And I think we started getting to the hole and getting some fouls, and then we hit our free throws. Alex Hamer just turned it around again. I hit a couple big threes that sparked a run. I think Bo hit one that was a huge. So, you know, obviously shots weren't dropping in the first half, and then we get frustrated and we keep shooting, which I guess, you know, that's the answer. You got to keep shooting. But, you know, the shots were dropping in the second half, and I think that was obviously a difference also.
Is Alex have the green light from the three-point line? Or?
Well, he thinks he does, and I think maybe every time he lets it go, we're like, oh, no. And to his credit, he's shooting about 50%, or he was. From three, and like I say, he had two huge baskets in the, I'm sure they were both in the fourth quarter, and had a couple of really nice rebounds. But I think, you know, Coach Peterson and I both what's he doing when he jacks one up? But even in practice here the last couple of days, he's hit some really nice threes. So I guess he decided he wants to be a guard in his senior year.
20 points, 9 rebounds. Those are both team highs for Alex. Coach Cooper Cabala had 15. Bo Cornwell had 11. I was going to ask you, are teams doing stuff different to maybe try to take Bo out of games, or not out of games, but maybe pick your poison? We'll try to shut down the. I mean, how are teams playing you defensively now? Are you noticing differences than early in the season, or since the inside game starting to kind of be stronger?
Yeah, I think obviously Bo is a marked man now within the conference. There's no surprises anymore, and obviously we still stress to our guys. We've got to get the darn thing inside. We've got to get an inside touch, and then it's going to open it up. And you know, teams are playing us a different defense, and they're just saying, here, let's make them prove that they can actually shoot from outside. And then if we have to go, you know, go back to man, then we'll adjust and go man. But I just think that we sometimes, like I say, we're sometimes our own worst enemy. And we, again, don't maybe do what is successful and still keep doing it. And I hope that will come out, and we'll decide that, yeah, this is fun getting 4 guys in double figures, you know, because we can be balanced, and we can also get 9 or 10 rebounds as an individual and win the game that way too.
Bellevue only had 3 free throw attempts, Coach. Defensively, even if they got to the bucket, you guys weren't fouling to give them more chances. That's a pretty good stat there.
Yeah, and I don't know that it was necessarily great defense on our part. It was probably soft defense. So therefore, they got to the rim probably more than what we should have allowed them. They had some more open shots than what we allowed them, and that's why we decided to do something different in the second half and just try to get our guys moving more. And that's what we had to do to step up the pace and change the way that Bellevue was playing. But, well, you got to give Bellevue a lot of credit. They came in with a good game plan, and they'd only won one game. And I still said to their coach afterwards, I just wonder, how have you guys only won one game? And I told their kids that, too. It's, you know, just keep working. It's going to happen. You know, on the flip side, I wonder how our team's only could easily be, you know, 11-7 versus 7-11 or 7-10. So it just you got to bring it every night, and just who knows who's going to play.
Yeah, Bellevue is an interesting team. You know, they lose to Durant by 2 at home. Then they have a run of games where they score in the 30s and their opponents are in the high 60s or low 70s and not even close. And, yeah, they came into the game over at West Branch, a lopsided loss to Cascade, you know. And, I mean, like you said, if you just go by quick stats, you would think, oh, well, we score 60, we're fine, you know.
Yep.
So, yeah, sometimes quick stats allows for traps on coaches and sports guys. So you guys have also had a week off between games. Your next game is Friday. North Cedar comes in. There's been from football to basketball to baseball to whatever, it seems like North Cedar, maybe they want to be a rival, or maybe you guys look at it that way, but you guys always seem to have tough games with North Cedar. Last year was the case up there, and you know, they're a team that's kind of, how are they only this with their record? I mean, they have a lot of athletes on their team, just not having it all come together here this year.
Yeah, and, you know, I know North Cedar obviously had some really good battles with West Branch during the Clay Cook and Rylan Murray era. And I kind of went back and looked at quick stats last night to see when the last time was West Branch has actually beaten them. And I think we've only beaten them a couple times in the last 5 or 6 years. So they've obviously been a thorn in our side. We've got film on them. We went and watched them play in person on Tuesday night at North Cedar against Monticello. And, again, I just wonder, and Monticello's a really good team, I just wonder how they've only won 2 or 3 games. It's scary. On, you know, on paper we should beat them, but boy, you just can't play with what's written on paper.
Will it help that the game's in West Branch, you think?
Well, you know, I would like to think so. Having said that, some of our better games have been on the road. I'm not sure why, but you know, again, it's just trying to figure out, kids. We keep reminding our seniors, you know, we're down to 2 home games in your career. That's it. We're not going to play postseason here. So you better be excited to play on this floor, because, you know, next year you're not going to be playing here.
It's got to be exciting, too. You guys are still, you have 3 South games left. You could cause a lot of problems in the South race.
Yeah, and again, it's we could cause some problems, or we can, you know, we could roll over. It's just I think our kids are not going to roll over. I think we got a lot of guys that like basketball. They want to keep the season going. We've been having some really, really good practices. We've been challenging them in practice. We challenged our JV team to you know, play the varsity as hard as they could. Yesterday, Coach Peterson took the JV, I took the varsity, and we had a really fun practice, and the kids got after it. We put them through some bad situations of, if this happens in the game, how are you going to respond? Coach Peterson called a foul on one of our guys. I'm not sure if it was a foul, but, you know, how did our guys react is what I wanted to see.
That never happens, though, right? That never happens.
So you know, it was a fun practice, but I think in the same boat, we got something accomplished in a positive way.
A lot of situational things are very beneficial, especially, you know, down the stretch here. Pressure. I mean, you're gonna have North Cedar. They're looking for a win. Regina, they're looking to stay in the South race. West Liberty, they don't want to lose to West Branch. Durant, who knows if they're gonna be in the race by that time? Maybe they are. There's a lot to play for, a lot of exciting opportunities for the guys. It's exciting to see how this will finish. Thanks for coming on today. I appreciate it. Look forward to catching up next week. Unfortunately, it looks like we'll just have one more game to talk about. I'm just kidding. We'll have a couple games. We'll have North Cedar and Regina. And depending on when we do this, we might even have West Liberty. So hopefully by next week, too, we might know where the brackets are going, where you guys are off to for postseason, and go from there. So, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Ryan.
Welcome back to Coach's Corner this week. We're catching up with North Cedar football coach Lucas Stanton. Coach, welcome in.
Thank you.
Normally don't get to talk to you. Normally not a reason to talk to you, to be honest, at this time of year. However, every 2 years, the state does sports writers across the state a favor and gives them an excuse to talk football in January. So I'm going to take advantage of that. How are you?
Good. Good. This is a good week. You know, I think for a lot of the coaches, it was kind of like, as Pat Dart put it, second Christmas for us, you know, finding out what district we're going to be in. And then been busy, you know, trying to figure out non-district. And, you know, that's always interesting because people are kind of jockeying to, you know, put each other down for number one, number two, and, you know, to make sure that you get your two non-district games. So that's always, for me anyway, being the first year I've ever had to do it, is it's interesting. So
I was going to ask, this will be your third year, right, going in this fall?
Here?
Yes.
Yes.
As the head coach. How is that, I mean, in a weird way, you got kind of had to do that anyway, but you kind of got a later start than now in kind of hurrying up and dissecting opponents. Are you doing something?
You know what? I'm familiar with the teams in our district. There's some teams that's been in there the last 2 years, and then my first year here when I was the defensive coordinator. You know, Clayton Ridge was in our district, and Mack Valley was in our district. So, familiar with those teams. You know, I feel a lot more comfortable right now. Like, you know, you got a little bit more time to prepare. You know, right now we're just kind of focused on, you know, getting those two non-district games, seeing who those two non-district teams are going to be. I have a pretty good idea of who they will be. But right now it's mostly, if not all, about us right now, you know, off season wise, you know, coaching staff wise, you know, we're, you know, going to clinics and trying to figure out, you know, what we're going to do, for next year and to improve on and what new twists we're going to put in. And, you know, as far as the players go, it's, you know, it's all about, you know, what we're doing in the weight room right now and how we're getting better and, you know, making sure that many guys as possible are participating in either basketball or wrestling, and then going out for track this spring. You know, we're really pushing that hard to get a higher percentage of guys out for track this spring. I think the numbers will be up.
Coach, you know, that's awesome to hear. You know, I mean, you don't want kids sitting out seasons in general, but if they sit out two seasons, that's a tough spot to start getting ready for a fall season.
Right. You know, we really push the multi-sport athlete. And, that's, you know, I'm not necessarily an Ohio State fan or Urban Meyer fan, but that's just, you know, if you look at the percentage of guys that he has out there that were multi-sport athletes, and even University of Iowa right in our backyard, and they just came out with a statistic how many their guys on their team were multi-sport athletes, and in particular were track athletes. The percentage is very, very high. And, you know, we let our football guys know that. And even if football is not their main sport, you know, they need to be doing something. At least two sports is what I try to tell them. You know, they need to be involved in at least two sports. And I think track is one that we really try to push, especially if they're not out for a winter sport. We really try to push track. So,
Coach, what I noticed about this district is opportunity to compete. It doesn't matter if you're North Cedar or West Branch. There's eight teams in the district, and there's two playoff spots. Those are pretty good odds. You know, you never know. They could have said, "Hey, just one playoff spot out of your district," and that wouldn't have been ideal. But you know, there's a lot of quarterbacks that are not coming back, just based on the quick stats that I've seen. You guys are fortunate to have someone coming back that sort of has some starting experience and things, so I didn't lump you into the teams that didn't have somebody coming back.
Right.
But how important is it for, whether it's quarterback, running back, lineman, I mean, going into something, I'm guessing Clayton Ridge, Jessup, Mack Valley, Tipton will be a little different, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these teams, how would you approach an off season? I mean, if you had to pick somebody, I mean, quarterback, I mean, that's important, you know.
Yeah. I think it's a big advantage, you know, when you have a quarterback with experience, you know, coming back and to lead your program or lead your offense. You have somebody back there that's comfortable and knows the system, and I think that's always an advantage. It doesn't always correlate necessarily, you know, beating those other teams, but it's definitely an advantage. Looking at some of the other teams that are bringing a quarterback back, that I think, you know, like Mack Valley, for one, if he does find a quarterback and has someone that steps in and transitions into that role pretty nicely, they're going to be a tough team. You know, West Branch, they'll find somebody to turn that quarterback position. They always do a good job of that. So, Jessup's a team that really, talking to some of the other coaches in the district, I think that was kind of a surprise team that was in our district. I think we all kind of thought that, you know, Mack Valley, Clayton Ridge was possible, and Jessup was a surprise. So we got to familiarize ourselves with Jessup a little bit. I do know they lost quite a bit from last year.
I know the North Cedar school buses know how to get to Jessup. They have played there for softball before, so
yeah,
you're good there.
Yeah, yep. That'll be one heck of a drive. I'm hoping maybe we play them here right off the bat this year. But either way,
when do schedules come out? Is that when the non-districts come out as well? As far as how many home games, how many road games you guys have?
You know, off the top of my head, I'm not exactly sure when the actual schedule will come out. I do know that the deadline to get the non-district top five in is February 2nd. Then I think that's when it'll take a little bit to get all that figured out, who's going to be playing who, and then they solidify the actual schedule. So I think we got a little bit yet. Like I said, now that I know that, you know, who's in our district, and that makes me feel a little bit better. And once I know that we got our two non-district opponents, then, you know, whatever schedule, you know, like I said, right now it's mostly just about taking care of the guys in our building right now and the guys on our team. And not going to worry too much about the other teams right now.
Well, Coach, thanks for your time this morning. I appreciate it. It's always fun to get thinking and talking about football. Now, for me, it's kind of hurry up and wait. Unfortunately, I don't see a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff. I mean, you guys, high school football keeps going as I go off to spring and summer sports. So,
right.
Anyway, look forward to catching up with you. I'll see you throughout the next seasons, but we'll talk football come August.
All right, thanks.
Welcome back to Coach's Corner. We're catching up with Tipton football coach Josh Barr. Coach, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
A couple weeks ago, we did a podcast about the district assignments were coming out and classifications were known, and at that time we knew we were in 1A, we just didn't know who we were going to play. We know who we are going to play now, so who are we going to play now?
Well, we've got in Class 1A, 7 districts of 8, and it will be Bellevue, Clayton Ridge, Durant, Jessup, Maquoketa Valley, North Cedar, us, and West Branch. So some area teams, some other travel teams. So, you know, kind of a split between there. Teams we're familiar with, teams we haven't seen in a long time or at all. So it's kind of exciting. It's kind of new. It's going to be a challenge.
I see and hear a lot of names that are not on our schedule from the last 2 years. West Liberty, at least district-wise, Anamosa, Mount Vernon, Monticello, Command, Northeast, conference schools that stayed in 2A, it looks like.
Right. Yeah, that 2A district around us is a very difficult district, as it's laid out by the state here. We don't have a lot of those teams on our list, and we're going from three district game or non-district games to two non-district games, so the chance of getting a couple of those is, you know, is there, but you know, we may or may not see any of them. So
we don't know our actual schedule. We just know the teams that we're playing. We don't know if we have four or five home games. We don't know our non-district opponents. When do non-district opponents come out?
Well, like, you know, districts came out just the other day. We are currently in the process, like anybody else in the state, trying to find non-district teams that are interested in, you know, a non-district matchup. And you create a list of five and send it to the state, and then it's in their hands to build the non-district schedule as they wish. And February 1st is the due date on the non-district list. So
a lot of the non-district teams we've played in the past are on our schedule for district. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Coach, now, I mean, you know what's going on. Is it, you know, print off a lot of quick stats and start at it? Or do you guys have a two-year sort of folder you bring out? This is what we do when we find out districts. This person does this, we do this, and is it more taking care of yourself?
Well, I mean, it's a lot of our off-season is taking care of us, you know, with the weight program, with guys getting in-season sports and competing there. You know, we're certainly working on us. We head to Green Bay tonight for a clinic. We had one here, hosted one on Monday. And, you know, so we're busy certainly working on us like we always are. Obviously, with the names coming out on who we're going to see, we're going to gather information, you know, and see how things fit and find the dynamic players in the district, which there's going to be a lot of them. And try to do what we can to take what we do and prepare for what we see to be the common challenge in the district. So lots of work on us, on them, and, you know, it's part of the challenge, it's part of the fun. So
season actually starts now then?
Well, to a certain degree. We're, you know, at this level, we're never off. We try to, you know, make it our year-round job, make it as important as the kids make it, and we know it's a huge part of what we do within the school building and around town, and we really feel it's, you know, it's something that we're obligated and certainly we love to do. So it's not something that you think spend a whole lot of time thinking about. It's you just do it. So
were there a lot of kids that came in to say, hey, have you seen who we played, or do you guys have a team meeting and kind of like have a reveal sort of the teams, or how does that? I mean, kids might even know before you know, in a sense.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the information's out there a lot. You know, I mean, there's all sorts of websites and things they can get on, and they understand the steps we're taking, and they certainly stopped in on Wednesday to see what, you know, when and what the district looked like and all that kind of stuff. So the kids were interested, no doubt about it. They're excited. It's you know, adds a little bit to, you know, the motivation in our, you know, in-season, off-season preparation. So
Some very, very early projections, thoughts on the district. Have you thought about any of that?
Well, you know, the number one thing that jumps out to me is there's a dynamic player on everybody's roster that returns. There's, you know, Jessup has a quarterback that looks to be a real good athlete statistically. He's, you know, he was lighting up the 1A district up there. Same thing with Clayton Ridge. Coconut Valley returns a real dynamic running back, 1,400 yards. That's, you know, that's their West Branch is West Branch. Bellevue's always got a bunch of tough kids, and, you know, we're familiar with North Cedar and Durant, and you know, it's going to be a challenging district. The top to bottom, it's, you know, I I think it's going to be up for grabs, and there's going to be a lot of teams competing. So it's a good district.
Were you happy with how things went? You know, you never know it, but the playoff spots go from 32 to 16. So that means two spots out of our district, the champ and runner-up go. Eight teams in the district. Well, Josh, thanks for your time this morning. It's always exciting to find out new opponents in this time of year. Unfortunately, now for people like me, it's hurry up and wait till the fall. Look forward to seeing that process work itself out and catching up again in August.
Yep, thanks for stopping in.
But Durant boys basketball coach Matt Straube as the Wildcats picked up a big win this week against Tipton. Coach, welcome in.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
We don't have a lot of games to talk about, but the one we do is a pretty important one. You know, you guys came into the Tipton game this past Tuesday on a three-game losing streak. I wouldn't say reeling, but you guys needed a win. You guys still have the goal out there in front of you for the South title. There's still games coming up here we'll talk about later in the South and the North, actually. But you guys kind of put the marker down and said, no more. We're winning this one. How are you?
Yeah, that was a big win for us, like you said, coming off three losses. You know, and the West Liberty one especially being the hard one there. We needed to right the ship, so even though it went to overtime and was a little tougher than we would have liked, to be able to go and pull that one out was huge for us and huge to get our confidence back.
You know, you guys had a pretty easy time when you guys came up to Tipton earlier this season. And that was kind of shocking because, I mean, Tipton had high hopes. And, you know, early on in the season, they were probably picked in front of you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, just how it was. You guys came out with a 10-0 start. You guys got ranked. Things kind of flipped a little bit. And, you know, you guys had the season that many thought Tipton may. You guys, you know, at the same time, came in on a losing streak, unfortunately. What's that do to the psyche? I mean, you guys, you like to think you're going to win. You're not going to lose the rest of the way out. Tipton, though, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say here. Talk on it.
I'm going to help you out.
Good.
I think, yeah, it's kind of been a tale of two seasons for both programs. They struggled early, and they've been a really hot team for a while now. And they've been playing really good basketball since about the time we beat them. I think they went in the next game and played Midland and got a win and then reeled off a handful of them straight, you know. What was it, 5-6 wins in a row, something like that. And other than a couple of the really tough North powers, they hadn't lost a game until playing us. And we had the hot start. And then all of a sudden we're struggling a little bit and we're trying to find a groove. But, yeah, they're a team we knew we couldn't sleep on even a little bit. I don't remember which paper it was. Somebody picked them to be South Conference champs, you know, earlier before the season. So we knew it wasn't a team we could take lightly at any point this year. That first game was probably a little easier than we would have thought. That was not one we expected to go in and blow them out by any means. But I think we just got the momentum going early and really kept the hammer on them the entire night. So that was a nice win early in the year, kind of to spark us and make us really believe we can do some stuff. And then this one kind of hopefully will right the ship a little bit.
You know, it was Tipton had a hot start. I mean, Adam Hermson came out 9 points, which
turned out to be his only 9 points of the game. All three-pointers got him going. So they were at 16-11 after the first quarter. You know, not really out of – they didn't pull away per se, but, I mean, it just had a different feel in the first quarter. You know, the second quarter was important. You guys closed that gap. They only outscored you by four, 32-23 at halftime. Still, I'm guessing you probably were hoping it to be ahead or at least a little closer than that.
Yeah, we came out and I think we were up 4-0 to start the game. And we had some momentum going, and I think Pelzer got a couple of shots early. And then, Hermsen hitting three threes in the first quarter kind of gave him the lead. And it was 16-8 before Will hit the three, I think, at the end of the first quarter, you know, hit another buzzer beater. Which that was a huge shot just to kind of keep momentum a little bit from just snowballing against us. But they came out, you know, second quarter, I think we calmed down a little bit. But again, they were able to extend the lead. And, you know, their crowd, I thought, was really great the entire night, too. It made for a great atmosphere, you know.
It was like a tournament, you know. Yep. I mean, both, you know, what was at stake – Tuesday night made it that way too. You know, I mean, Tipton has hopes of contending for the South. I mean, technically, even though they lost, they're still potentially. I mean, it's out of their control. It kind of flipped. I mean, now you guys are. I mean, you guys still have control.
Yeah.
But I mean, just that aspect of the game made it more seem more than just a normal game. And you know, as well as I do, that you know, the love lost between both towns is starting to make it into a little rival that it's fun to watch from my perspective, but maybe not from coach's perspective.
Well, speaking on the rivalry, I think the kids really get into it too. The beat Tipton, beat Durant shirts, all that stuff. I don't think our kids really like a lot of the Tipton kids, you know, and I think there's a lot of trash talk that gets thrown around there too, and they want to beat each other badly. But it was a fun atmosphere to be coaching in, and like you said, felt like a tournament game, you know. So,
you know, I wouldn't say chippy, but there were some moments in the game, as in general, a little intense. You know, I mean, there's a couple of technical fouls throughout the game, and I told somebody afterwards that I think that at the one in the girls' game, that might be the most technical fouls I've seen in a season since I've been here. it just doesn't seem like that happens very often. You know, they had a technical call foul on one of their players. I thought it was second half.
They were all in the second half. And I thought, you know, you're saying you don't want to necessarily call it chippy. I'd call it chippy. We knew right away from the get-go. And I told the guys, I'm like, you know, even though that girls' game, there shouldn't have been a lot of fouls called because it wasn't like anybody was really doing any fouling. Their crowd's going crazy. The refs are probably going to come out and call it a little tighter right away just to keep everybody in check. So just be ready for it. And first possession, when Tipton had the ball, Logan Hoffman comes down the court, throws a shove at Jake Benishek. And I'm not saying it was anything malicious or anything like that, but I'm just like, all right. This is how it's going to be tonight. He's trying to get post position, but he's doing it pretty forcefully. It's going to get nasty probably. And, you know, third quarter, I think Gavin blocked one of Pelzer's shots, and Pelzer threw a shove at him. And Will, don't get me wrong, Will Bentley was in the wrong and got up and said something to him he shouldn't have and got a technical for it, but starting to get chippy there. Then Pelzer's talking a little trash after hitting a three. He got teed up, and... yeah, it was heated. So.
It was interesting, you know. That just, to me, it made it great. I mean, as a coach, you probably don't want to have those 4-point or 6-point potential swings, but it just kind of made the night. It just fed into the night a little bit. But regardless, you guys came out 12-10 in the third quarter to kind of chip away. The fourth quarter is where you kind of made up the ground to tie and get it to overtime. 18-11, you outscored Tipton. And you know, they had a shot to win at the end. They just missed a free throw. I mean, a three pointer. But at the same time, you guys had pretty good defense there on that last play too.
We got, I think third quarter we had gotten it down to like 4 or 6 points when Will got the technical, and then it was back to 8 or 10 or something. You know, and going into the fourth quarter, then I think it was like an 8-point lead, something like that. So the work we had done to get kind of back into it. on the scoreboard wise, it really wasn't showing. But I thought the momentum was in our favor, and I thought the energy was back in our favor, and we had them on our on their heels just a little bit. Fourth quarter, the guys came out, and once we tied the game, it's like, okay, let's just get this lead. Doesn't have to be much, but if we can get a 2-3-point lead, put the pressure on them to have to do stuff, we're going to be in a good position.
They, you know, they live and die sometimes by the three-pointers. They start missing some threes. Their offense just didn't get the consistent scoring possessions, mm-hmm. and that was kind of important too, I thought.
Well, yeah, and that was kind of the story for us in the first half. We weren't getting the consistent stuff that we want to get. We want to work through the post. But it just seems like lately, the last couple games, Luke and Jake have really been forcing things and rushing their decisions. And I don't remember if it was first quarter or second quarter, but Will had a nice drop-off pass to Luke, and Luke missed a layup, and it's like, oh, it's just one of those nights again, you know?
Ironically, that was the game yeah. winner. You know, overtime, Tipton gets out. They score the first 4 points. There's about 2 minutes and 50 or 40 seconds left. I'm like, that's it. I mean, it just had a feel that, you know, if you had that four-point lead just to stretch it further and make it a two-possession game, mm-hmm. it was going to be a problem for whoever that was. And, you know, you guys, credit to you guys. You guys came back. And
I think we scored, and then Will got a steal. He and Josh were – we're up pressuring, and Hermson threw the ball away. Will got the steal, dumped it back off to Josh, and Josh laid it in.
It reminded me of Hoosiers, actually. I told you that after the game. That Jimmy Chitwood thing where it's like, you know, they come down, they're like, press after this, whatever. And lo and behold, I mean, it just was like you practiced it. I mean, it was, I mean, Josh, you're right. I mean, he stole it. Josh came around, perfect pass. And, you know, I thought that was big for just, you know, that's where it turned. In overtime, where it was like, you know, Tipton's going to have to beat you. You're not going to give it away at that point. Not that you were going to anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been nice if we could have grabbed the lead a little earlier in overtime, you know. But I think the last 2 minutes, it was deadlocked at 57. 57, I think. And then we finally scored with about 20 seconds left to take the lead. But, yeah, that was... it was really a game of momentum swings.
You know, Coach, I talked to you after the game. I thought Will Bentley and just kind of stepped up. I mean, he kind of just took control. I mean, you know, some of those possessions, pointing out where to go. He communicated more, if nothing else. Yep. Maybe that's why I noticed the most out of him this game.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. He's been a 3-year captain, and he's a vocal leader, especially during games. And it's just something we kind of expect from him. And when games are on the line, he wants the ball in his hands. He wants to be one making plays. And, you know, that's, like I said, the 3-year captain, we kind of expect that of him now. So it was huge of him to step up big when we needed him.
Well, 21 points, 5 assists, 2 steals. Not much rebounds, but 5 assists were big. Especially, he was out on the perimeter most of the game. And, you know, that's not too bad to get some of those assists. 10 for the game as a team, you know, that's not bad.
No, yeah, I thought, like, stats-wise, I thought he filled up the sheet fairly well. I think he only had 2 turnovers, and I think the thing we were really proud of, I think we only had 5 as a team that night. That was something we had really talked about, and we've been really bad with the ball the last 3 games. Cascade forced, like, 20 turnovers. West Liberty, we had too many. It hadn't been good lately. And early, I was kind of worried because Will had one that he just dribbled off his foot, not really super tight pressure, and then he had one he threw into about the third row of the stands. But other than that, the guys were really good with the basketball, and that was a big, big part of us being able to stay in the game and pull it out.
I remember that one off his foot. I was like, wow. It happened at a time in the first half.
First quarter, just and kinda, they were just starting to get a little bit of momentum and stuff, and it's like, all right, here we go.
Gavin Meyer, 15 points. Luke Whitlock, 12. Both of them, pretty good shooting. Both were made 6 field goals and, you know, shot over 50% for the game. Jake Beneshek, 2 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, and he was pretty happy after the game.
Watching Benny, there's a couple of possessions. We thought we had an end one earlier in the game, and he goes, like, when we were on the roll in the third or fourth quarter, he goes and he's high-stepping down the court, super pumped, but... his reactions are priceless. But, Jake really kind of struggled from the field, but his rebounding was huge. There was one possession, third quarter, I don't think we ended up scoring, but he had 3 offensive rebounds. You know, and I had the seniors all say something to the guys before the game, or the senior captains, I should say. And Joey did his thing, Will did his thing, and I can't repeat what Jake Benishek said, but it was just talking about giving absolute effort, and he would not accept anything less. And I think that kind of showed right there, just the offensive rebounding. I thought Tipton did a really nice job on the boards in the first half, but I thought we controlled them in the second half and didn't give second chances.
You know, Jake had just that warrior attitude. He's getting outside. It's almost two of him, because mm-hmm. like Logan Hoffman, mm-hmm. if listeners haven't seen him play, I mean, holy cow, he's put some time in the weight room. And even big from the start kid. Of this season, I mean, yep. this was a different Logan Hoffman yep. than you guys saw back. Well, it's a different Tipton team that you guys yep. saw the first time. And, you know, he to his credit, he just kept fighting and kept taking. He's like, you know, I'm going to take a shot, and yeah. it's going to be – I'm going to go up strong, and whatever happens, happens.
Well, he put them up late in the fourth quarter. I think we had tied the game at 50 or something like that. I think it was 50. And he comes down, gets fouled, hits the free throw. You know, luckily Will was able to come down, put some pressure on him, get a foul, and get an N1 himself. But yeah, Hoffman, he's an impressive player. 14 points, 7 boards. You know, that's for a sophomore kid. He's going to be a really good player the next couple of years for them.
Joey, 2 points, 6 rebounds.
I don't know if it's any truth to it, but kids talk. And we heard that Tipton was saying, and you know, coming from the top down there, that Joey Tobin's the worst starter in the conference, and that's what they were telling their kids. And Joey took it personally. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. He heard it. I know he only scored 2 points for the game, but he hit 2 major free throws for us in the third or fourth quarter. I can't remember which. It would have either been late in the third, early mid fourth. But Joey makes hustle plays, and I think any team in the conference would love to have a Joey Tobin on their team. Don't get me wrong. He might not be the best player by any means, but he's going to work just as hard, if not harder, than anyone out there. I can't tell you how many times he's kept possessions alive by tipping out offensive rebounds, getting rundown steals, just doing the Joey things that we want him to do. And, you know, he was huge for us. I know it's only 2 points, but that kid plays with so much heart. You know, we wouldn't trade him for anybody.
Josh Hines, 7 points off the bench. Also, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. Matt Pelzer led Tipton with 16 points, 7 rebounds on the night for the Tigers. You guys fairly evenly rebounded. You guys with 34, Tipton with 32. I talked afterwards. First question I ask, must win.
Yeah.
Because it felt like a must-win.
Yeah. It.
At least on my side.
And I've kind of thought about it a little bit, and I still don't know the answer to it. You know, I don't know if it's a must-win or not. It was a needed win. We're still playing for the postseason. Our district seating's locked up, you know. But just to get some positivity back and get some momentum was huge. And I think now the guys realize again, oh, hey, we still have a chance of winning our half of the conference. We take care of business if we go beat Mid Prairie, West Branch, Regina. You know, we've taken care of our side. So that's still the goal, and to be able to, like I said, pull out the win, I think maybe might have actually been a must win. So,
you know, sometimes I keep forgetting these are kids.
Yeah.
You know, and to let, I mean, losses take stuff out of you. And, you know, if you get a couple back-to-back, I mean, sometimes one turns into two, sometimes two into three, you know. And it's easy sometimes for fans to be like, oh, you know, of course they should beat so-and-so or this mm-hmm. should happen. But, you know, that's why they play the games,
too. Yeah. I don't know if that Comanche game, the first loss of the season, like snowballed anything for us. I don't think we were great against Regina by any means. But I still thought we came out that night with good first quarter and a great fourth quarter when we had to have it, and the guys played with a lot of fight and intensity. The Wilton game, though, we got thoroughly dominated, and we did not play good basketball that night. And I think that one snowballed on us. And the West Liberty game, again, we came out and we didn't have any fight in us until about the 2-minute mark of the fourth quarter. And by that point, it was way too late. So, yeah, just to go and – because, again, when we played Cascade, I know we lost by 19, but they're a very good basketball team, and we do not match up well with them at all. I thought if we could have hit a couple of bunnies, and we had layups that we missed in that game, we might have been within 3-4 points at halftime. And then the second half's a different story, but we just missed a few layups in the first quarter, or first and second quarters, and that one kind of got away from us then the rest of the game. I didn't think that one really was going to snowball us any. I liked where we were at in that game, but yeah, we needed to right the ship.
Tonight you guys traveled to state ranked Monticello. Is this a well, you guys have 4 games in the next 6 days. Tomorrow you have you travel to Mid Prairie, a South game. How do you battle not looking ahead to that, knowing that, you know, you're going to Monticello, it's an Orr team, state ranked. Not that you're looking past that, but, you know, I mean, Monticello's up in the Cascade in the Northeast Goose Lake sort of. Mm-hmm. Sort of, you know, we have to play a perfect game. It's going to take a pretty big effort. Yep. I mean, but at the same time, you want to go represent the South going to a North school.
Yep.
You want to show that, you know, what sort of chips do you have on your shoulder going into tonight? I mean, you probably want to come out and fight.
Yeah. You know, one of our goals before the season was to beat one of the Big Four on the other side. Obviously didn't happen against Cascade. Comanche we almost were able to get. Monticello is probably the team I think of the four we match up with the best. They're a very good team, very disciplined with the basketball, execute their stuff really well, but I think we match up with them the best. So we're hoping to come out, put up a really good fight, and steal one from them. We know it's going to take maybe not a perfect effort, but at worst, you know, like a B-plus level effort. And maybe them playing a little down to do it at that level. But, yeah, we're not looking ahead to Mid-Prairie. We know we got to take care of tonight first, and tomorrow will be its own thing. And Mid-Prairie, you know, nearly stole one from Wilton over the weekend, so we know we can't sleep on them right now. And that's probably one of the best outcomes we could have seen, just knowing, hey, we got to take them very, very seriously, even though they're an 0-15 team. One of the nice things, though, is even though we've got to travel tonight to Monticello, they're in the same boat. They're going to Comanche. That's going to be a up-and-down physical game for them, and they're going to have a long bus ride home just like we will. So I don't think there's any advantage for as far as, like, anybody being tired and fatigued for tomorrow.
It's exciting to see this stretch of games. You know, we have 3 road games. Back-to-back-to-back almost, and I guess I forgot you guys had that Mid-Prairie game in there Saturday. You do have a little time between Mid-Prairie and Regina to kind of may catch your breath or something, but tonight Monticello, tomorrow I should say, Mid-Prairie, next Thursday, a week from yesterday, Regina on the road, and then Friday Northeast. Are the guys, do they realize are they pretty excited about it? This would be a fun run to go through. I mean, you have state-ranked teams, you have South teams. To me, saying a lot to get them up and going, you're not going to have to say much, right?
I wouldn't think so. I think they know they've got to take every game seriously. You know, I hope to God we don't lose to Mid-Prairie. I could easily see us going 0-5 in this stretch just with the quality of teams we have and if we don't take people seriously. So I hope the guys understand what they have left in the regular season and know they need to get up and play good basketball. You know, Monticello and Northeast are two of the better teams in the state. Regina's going to have Stanger back. West Branch, that's going to be a tough game. You know, we went into their place and beat them the first time. They're probably going to want a little bit of revenge. So, yeah, we're not sleeping on anybody. And I hope the guys get up for all these games.
It'll be exciting to see how you guys play Monticello. To me, it seems like your athleticism would be an equalizer there when you go up there.
They don't have as big of a size advantage over us as a lot of teams do, so that's a nice thing. They don't go super deep either. I mean, their core rotation's probably about 6 deep. So, you know,
sounds familiar.
Yeah. That's something we can live with. We know they've got Derek Monternock, really, really good player. And, I mean, his brother, also a very good player, but they're just like I said, well-coached, very fundamental with what they do. We're going to have to really defend well in order to stay in the game and have a chance at the end.
Well, Coach, sitting at 12-4 going down the stretch, can't believe it's almost over. We will catch up next week, kind of in the middle of these four games, and talk about what has transpired. Good luck this week. Go get them.
All right, thanks, Ryan.
Thank you for listening to the Coach's Corner podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to this podcast in iTunes. If you have any questions or comments about this program, please email me at conservativesports@gmail.com. Until next time, we'll see you at the game.